When I was a young child, I thought that my father was the coolest person in the world. And I thought that he was cool because he could dunk a basketball. And I was a little kid, and I just thought it was the most amazing thing ever that he could dunk in a hoop. And I would brag to all my friends and tell them how awesome my dad was because he could dunk. And I had so much street cred for this, right, as a little kid. But as I got a little bit older, I realized the hoop in our backyard was only 8 feet tall. I was duped. As a kid, I had viewed my dad as a superhero. But dunking on an 8-foot hoop doesn't require any special ability whatsoever. This is one of the first times that I remember, as a kid, realizing that my father was not a superhero. He was just a simple, mere human being, like all of us are. Have you ever had the experience of being let down or disappointed by your father? I know that many of you in this room have had fantastic fathers who have loved and cherished you, who are godly men, who are excellent examples to you. But I'm sure at times you can probably remember seeing their sinfulness on display. I also know that for some of you, fatherhood, thinking about fatherhood, brings up painful memories, as maybe your relationship with your father was not the best. Maybe he hurt you or abused you or even abandoned you in some way. Whatever your experience may be, we all know and understand that no matter how great or how bad our fathers were, they were simply human beings. Maybe your father wasn't the father you had hoped him to be, or maybe he was. But what I want you to know today is that Jesus is the Father who will never, ever, ever let you down. Over the past several weeks, we've been exploring the names of Jesus in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. We have talked about how Jesus is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, and today we come to the third one, which is Everlasting Father. Out of all the names listed here, this one is perhaps the most confusing one. We normally use the title Father in reference to God the Father. So why do you think that Isaiah would refer to Jesus the Son as Father? It's a little bit of a mystery there. It's important for us to understand at the onset of this message two important things about the context and what Isaiah is saying here. First, he is not saying that Jesus is the same as God the Father. He's not saying that. As Christians, we firmly believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are three separate, distinct persons who operate as three persons but eternally exist as one God. And Isaiah is not challenging or contradicting our understanding of the Trinity here in this verse. But what he is saying is that this name Father is descriptive of who Jesus is. If you remember several weeks ago when Paige introduced this series to us and he talked about how in the Bible times names were used because they were descriptive of a person's character. Names told you what this person would be and what they would do. And so when Isaiah describes Jesus as Father, he is describing the character and nature of who he is. It's also important for us to understand this phrase, Everlasting Father, in its original Hebrew language, means Father of Eternity. And in this original Hebrew construction of the phrase, the word Father is the primary noun, and Everlasting is the adjective that describes his fatherhood. So the Father is Everlasting, or Father forever. So this is kind of shape of the outline of what we're going to talk about here, because we think about how Jesus is our Father and then how he is Father forever. So this is the main point this morning. In Jesus, you have a Father forever, one who will never, ever fail. Let's look first this morning at the fatherly care of Jesus. Why does Isaiah use the word Father to describe who Jesus is? First, because Jesus reveals to us God the Father. In John 14, as Jesus was having his farewell conversation in the upper room with his disciples, Philip tells Jesus this in verse 8 of John 14, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." But Jesus responded to him by saying, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me?" Also, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. If you want to know what God is like, look at the person of Jesus. Jesus shows us the character of God the Father. Everything we desire to know about God, we find in the person of Jesus. He is the exact representation of his being. He is the personal revelation of God's character. We can't know God as Father unless we know and understand who Jesus is, and we know his love, because he is the only way to the Father. So think about some fatherly characteristics of Jesus. And we know first that he is our provider. He's our provider. Paul says this in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." How does God provide for us? He gives us Jesus. He gives us the ultimate source of provision. Christmas is a time in which we celebrate God with us, God giving us the gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, who came to dwell in this life, in our life as a human being, to live as a perfect man among sinful human beings, and then ultimately to suffer and die as an innocent man. Jesus is the ultimate source of provision. And because God has provided for us Jesus, he's provided for us a way to be healed, to be restored, to be redeemed, to be reconciled to God and given everlasting life. The question is asked in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things?" The Father God has already given us everything we need in the person of Jesus. And so it is through the Son, it is through Jesus that all of our needs are met. Through Jesus, we have all of our provision. In Matthew 14, when his disciples were stressing about how to feed a large and hungry crowd, Jesus miraculously turned 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into enough food to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. In a seemingly hopeless situation, you know the story, he miraculously provided, and all were satisfied, had enough to eat, and there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. The Father, just as a father, an earthly father, your father works to provide all the needs for you as a child. A father works to ensure that your needs are met, that you are provided for. In the same way, Jesus provides and gives us our daily bread. It's important to know that this does not always mean that he will provide what we think we want or what we think we deserve, but he provides what he knows that we need. Think about this in my house. We're trying to get my daughter, Joanna, who's 1.5, to eat vegetables. She does not like eating vegetables. And she'll sit at the table with the food that I've given her in her plate, and then she'll look at me and see my cupcake or frozen pizza and then scream because she wants what I have. But I would not be a good father if I always gave her that food. I would not be a good father if I always gave her what she wanted, because I know what it is that she truly needs. I know what it is that she truly needs. I give her what she needs, and I make sure that her needs are met. In the same way, Jesus knows exactly what it is that you need. And he cares for you as your father and your provider. And he will most certainly give you not necessarily what you want, but what you need and what it is that you need in order to grow spiritually and glorify him in your life. So third, he is our protector. He's our protector. In John 17, as Jesus was praying to God before his arrest and crucifixion, he says this in verse 12 of John 17. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus, as the everlasting Father, is our benevolent protector. Just as a father guards and protects his children, Jesus protects us. But again, this is not always a physical protection, but rather a spiritual protection. Though you might face trouble and be put into harm's way in life in this broken world, if you know Christ and you be in Christ, you are always protected and safe and secure in his arms, no matter what the outcome is of what you're dealing with in this earth. Jesus is your protector. As Peter says, he is the shepherd and overseer of your soul. He protects you against the flaming arrows and attacks of the enemy. He protects you and he guards your heart and helps you and gives you strength to overcome temptation and sin. He preserves and secures your soul for eternal life. And he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Fourth, he is our teacher. He's our teacher. One often overlooked element of the ministry of Jesus is that he was the greatest teacher to ever live. He taught in parables that were extremely relatable to people that they could understand. He used visual object lessons. He used poetry, riddles, parables, quoted from the Old Testament. He even used the shock factor, saying such as, whoever drinks my blood and eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. What is that? Right? He shocks you with things that he says so that you'll remember what he says. He's an excellent, excellent teacher. He taught by correcting his disciples and bringing them, helping them understand what the kingdom of God really meant. He showed them what really mattered to God and what true greatness looked like in his kingdom. He took his disciples under his wing and invited them to follow him and learned from the way that he lived his life. A father takes great pride in teaching his children skills. Right, kids, sometimes you might get frustrated when your dad pulls you away from your video game or your TV and tells you to come hold the flashlight for him while he's doing a project. Right? Anybody ever experienced that before? But it's because as a father, you take great pride in teaching your kids skills that you know that will benefit them greatly in life. And you want to show them that. Some of the greatest memories I have with my own father, of him teaching me how to do things, whether it was playing golf or doing projects around the house. And it always involved him showing me how to do something and then training me and teaching me how to do it on my own. And this is exactly what Jesus did with his disciples. He showed them how to live the Christ life. He taught them by inviting them to follow him, inviting them to follow him as he ate and drank with tax collectors and sinners, as he healed the sick, as he confronted the Pharisees. He showed them how to live the Christ life, and then he trained them on how to minister to others. And then he unleashed them and commissioned them to carry out his mission on their own. And fourth, Jesus is our comforter. He's our comforter. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, you see time and time again where he comforted those who were with him. In John 11, when Mary and Martha were grieving over the supposed loss of their brother Lazarus, Jesus came and he wept with them. He grieved with them. And then he comforted them with encouraging words like, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He told Martha. In John 14, when his disciples were distressed and distraught and upset about the fact that Jesus was going to suffer and die, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And in Matthew 14, when Jesus was walking on the water and his disciples saw him and they said, "It is a ghost." But Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And when Jesus saw the paralyzed man on the mat in Matthew 9, he looked at him and said, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven." No father likes to see their son or daughter in pain. No father likes to see their son or daughter in sadness, in grief. And they will go to great lengths to comfort and console them when they are weary. In the same way, Jesus is our comforter. Jesus is our comforter. Whatever it is that you're going through, he sees you. He weeps with you. He mourns with you. He strengthens you. He holds you tight. He is Emmanuel, God with us, comforting us in grief, confusion, sadness, stress, fear, and exhaustion. And if you are feeling overwhelmed, burdened, full of despair, look to Jesus, who is the ultimate comforter, the author and finisher of your faith. And he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And last but certainly not least, he is the forgiver of sin. I came across a video of this story recently of a man named Ike Brown. And Ike was a Jacksonville police officer whose 21-year-old son, Isaac Brown Jr., was shot and killed while simply playing video games at a friend's house in a random and senseless act of violence. A young man named Tekoya Kreiner was charged with the crime and found guilty of his murder. And as you can imagine, Ike Sr., the dad, was hurt, mad, angry at this man for taking the life of his son, as he rightfully should be. At first, all he wanted to do was take revenge on this man for doing this. But then, when he saw him in court for the first time, things started to change in his heart. In an interview with him, as he's talking about his experience, he says, "I saw this man who killed my son. I saw him in court, and all of a sudden, something came over me. I don't understand it, but I just loved him. I just loved him in that moment. Nobody else could understand. My family could not understand it. My wife was not happy with me, but I loved him, and I forgave him." He pleaded with the state not to pursue the death penalty. He said, "I don't want that man to die. I don't want him to die. I want him to live." And after Tekoya was sentenced to life in prison for the crime, Ike Sr., the dad, wrote him a letter and said, "I forgive you, and I want to come visit you." And he came, and he visited him in prison, and he got to know him. And Tekoya was deeply moved by this. And in the interview, he says this. He says, "Here I was in shackles and chains, and yet this man came up to me and held me tight, squeezed me, ran to me, and said, 'I love you.'" And here's probably the most compelling part of this story. Tekoya, the man who was the suspect in this case, his biological father had no involvement in his life. And so Ike Sr. asked him, he asked the man who killed his own son if he would become his adopted son. He said, "Would you fill the role of Isaac Jr. in my family's life? Would you do this?" This is the very man who hurt him deeply by taking his own son, but yet he forgave him. He chose to forgive him, and he said, "I don't want you to die, but I want to take you into my family." He forgave him and loved him as his own. Brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus did for us. You and I were dead in our sin, bound in shackles and chains because of our rebellion against God, because of our waywardness, every bit deserving of the death penalty, every bit deserving. But Jesus stepped in and said, "I don't want him to die. I don't want you to die. He paid the price for you. Though it was your death, he died for you. He is the sacrificial lamb, the one who went to the cross for you to die the death that you deserve. And if you are here this morning and you feel guilt-ridden by your sin and your shame and things that you've done in your past, know that Jesus is the forgiver of your sins. And if you ask him to be your Savior, all your sin is forgiven. The enemy wants to make you feel every ounce of guilt and shame. The enemy wants to remind you constantly of the things that you've done in your life. But Jesus says, I love you. You are mine. And the cross is the greatest example of how Jesus is a father. The cross is the greatest example of how he is a father figure to us, because this is how far he is willing to go to sacrifice himself for us. How far he is willing to go to show his love for us is to take his own life. An innocent man dying for the guilty, for us. Ephesians 2, 4 and 7. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved. And raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show you the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We've talked about how Jesus is a father, our father figure to us. He's our provider, protector, teacher, comforter, and encourager, and forgiver of our sin. So let's look now at the everlasting nature of his fatherhood. In what way is he father forever? First, as your everlasting father, Jesus is eternal and unchanging. He's eternal and unchanging. We often think of Jesus' life as lasting 33 years. But no, Jesus has always existed, and he will always exist. He has no beginning or no end. He says in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come. And because Jesus is everlasting, his fatherhood, his character towards you, is everlasting. Your father will one day pass away, and that will be a hard time if it has not happened already. But Jesus will last forever. Your father will change over time. Your father will start to get old, start to lose his memory. My father just turned 60 a couple weeks ago, and I like to keep telling him that you're getting old, right? And our fathers, they start to lose their hair, their hearing, their eyesight, right? They lose their memory. They lose their ability to take care of you because they change. But Jesus will never change. His character towards you never changes. Because Jesus is everlasting, his provision, his character, his protection, comfort, care, and forgiveness have no end. They are always available to us. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. His character towards you knows no end. And second, as your everlasting Father, he will reign forever. He will reign forever. One bit of context that is important to note here about this word Father is that in Bible times and historically, whoever was the leader of a country or people was ultimately called the father of their people. We know, think about Abraham as Father Abraham. And in his covenant with God, God told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. We think of Jacob as the father of Israel. And Isaiah himself said this in Isaiah 22:21 about a man named Eliakim, who is going to become the new palace secretary for King Hezekiah. He says this, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. So an Israelite reading this prophecy of Isaiah would have understood the term father as somebody who would be a leader of their people. But Isaiah does not just say that he will be a father. He says that he will be an everlasting father. He will be different than any father or leader that they have known, because his kingdom will reign forever. The angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke 1:33 that Jesus will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus was not just a good teacher for a time, or a good prophet, or a good man, but he is king, and he will be king forever and ever, and of his kingdom reign there will be no end. And third, as your everlasting Father, he knows you. We all, as human beings, have a deep and intense longing for a relationship in which somebody knows us deeply, knows us thoroughly, knows us inside and out, and values us intrinsically. We often seek this sort of relationship in our human relationships, but no person on earth can know you completely. No person on earth can know you thoroughly. And if they did know you completely, they would not love you the same way, because they would see and know what's actually deep down inside of you. But Jesus knows you. He knows you inside and out, knows you thoroughly and intimately on every level. David says this in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Jesus knows everything about you. He knows every hair on your head, every thought that comes into your mind, every sin that you have ever committed and will ever commit, everything deep down inside of you, yet he still loves you. He knew you before you were born. He loves you deeply and knows you. Have you ever felt like you weren't known or valued by others? Have you ever felt that people didn't appreciate you for who you are? They didn't know you well? In Christ, know this, that you are fully known and fully loved. You aren't just a random organism drifting about aimlessly in this world, unknown by anybody, but you are known and valued by the one who created the world, who created you for a purpose, who created you, and he has a plan for your life, and he values and knows you. And last, as your everlasting Father, Jesus will never fail. The 2022 U.S. Census Bureau reported that there are approximately 18.3 million children in the U.S. right now that live without a father in the home. That's one in every four children. A ratio of one in every four children live with some sort of emptiness in their hearts because they don't have the companionship of a father in their home. Many people, maybe even some of you here today, have experienced the moral failure of a father, which may have led to a separation and drift in your family. And when that happens, it rocks you to your core, and it shakes you and causes great pain and heartache. It rips everything apart. And if you have not personally experienced that, you probably know somebody who has. You can probably think of somebody who has experienced this in their life. But Jesus is the one who will never, ever fail. Jesus is the Father who will never fail. Maybe your father has abandoned you, but Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe your father shames you for the mistakes that you made, but Jesus says, take heart, my son, your sin is forgiven. And elsewhere he says, for if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If your father has neglected you, Jesus says, follow me, come to me. If your father has failed to live up to your expectations, Jesus says, I am the living water, and if you drink of me, you'll never go thirsty again. Whoever believes in me shall never die but have eternal life. And if your father has treated you poorly and has caused heartbreak and headache and pain in your life, know that Jesus says, I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Romans 8, 35 to 39. Paul says this in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? All of these things that he lists in this verse are things that people could think that could possibly cut you off from God's love. Surely trials must mean that God doesn't love you. Surely distress and persecution must mean that God isn't with you. Surely famine and nakedness must mean that God has forgotten about you. Surely death by sword must mean that God has not protected you. But Paul says, no, in all these things, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is everlasting. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can break the bond between a son and an everlasting father. He is your father forever. He will be forever faithful to you and love you unconditionally and endlessly for all eternity. So, two application points as we close here, questions to consider. One, have you said yes to Jesus' invitation to become your everlasting Father? If you have never decided to follow Jesus, if you are here today and you stand outside of the grace of God and you've never placed your faith and trust in him, what better time than now? What better time than now to know that you can place your faith in Jesus and all your sin is forgiven? As humans, I talked about earlier, we have this longing for a deep relationship, for connection. And if you reject the love of Christ, if you reject Christ's invitation, if you reject that, there is nothing else in this world that can satisfy that deep longing in your heart. There's nothing else that can satisfy the emptiness. A quote from C.S. Lewis that I use often, but again, it's appropriate here. If I find in myself a longing for something that cannot be satisfied in this world, the only explanation is that I was made for another world. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy the deep and intense longing in your heart for connection, for love, for belonging, for being known, for being valued. He is the one who is everlasting, and because he is everlasting, he gives you everlasting life if you would choose to receive him. He's inviting you to follow you. He's pursuing you. Would you say yes to him today? And secondly, for those who are in Christ, do you trust that you are securely under his care? Do you trust and believe that he is your everlasting Father? Do you trust that as your everlasting Father, he will always provide for you? He will always protect you. He will always care for you, always comfort you. If there be any doubt in your mind about these things, I encourage you today to confess, to repent, to say, Jesus, you are my Father, and I love you, and I trust you. Know that you are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus, the one whose name shall be called Everlasting Father. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this title, Everlasting Father. Thank you for what it means for our life. Thank you, Lord, that you love us unconditionally, that you give us grace, that you give us mercy. Thank you that you died for us. And I pray, Lord, that if anybody in here does not know this love, that you would open up their heart and mind so that they may know, they may experience, they may say, yes, Lord, I need you, I want you. And I pray, Lord, that for those in this room who struggle to believe this, who struggle to trust this, Lord, I pray that you would grab a hold of their life, Help them to know and understand, Lord, that you are always good. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.